I recently watched a TV show for the first time. It's called Property Wars. Anybody seen Property Wars? Yeah, me neither. I hadn't seen it before either. It's on Discovery Channel. And apparently what happens is there's buyers that want to buy houses. And they are told about 10 or 15 minutes before the auction is to happen, there's this property on X Street at this address. And so they go there and they have like 10 minutes to look around the front yard. They can't even go in the backyard, let alone in the house. They're allowed in the front yard and that's it. And then they call up a partner. They have a partner that sits at the courthouse, and the partner at the courthouse makes their bids for them. And so they have no idea what this place looks like on the inside. I remember the old saying, a pig in the poke, you know? Anybody heard that saying? Yeah, you Adventists know that you shouldn't. No. But that's what it's like, isn't it? They're just buying this thing and they really haven't ever seen it. And sometimes they get lucky and it turns out that the house is nice. You know, they'll look for clues around the outside, you know? If there's like old broken floor tiles sitting by the trash can and a box of new tiles partly used, then they'll think, oh, maybe somebody's redone the floor inside, and they're just hoping, please, because if it's not, they're in trouble, you know? One guy bought a house, and when he went inside, because he couldn't see inside, evidently people had broken in there, vandalized it, tagged all over the place, wrecked everything, they stole the light fixtures off the ceiling of this thing. And so he's looking at all this, chinging up the dollar signs as to how much this is all going to cost him. And he realizes, before I can ever do anything with this house, I've got to rehab it, you know? I've got to fix this house up. Sometimes that's the way it is for us too. We come into the new year and it's all shiny from the outside. We're looking forward to a nice new year. But the truth is we can't see inside. We just have to buy into this thing without not knowing. We just can't know what's coming up for this new year. And we just have to buy it. And sometimes when we do, we find out it's not all what we hoped it would be. How was your 2012? All you hoped it would be? Some of you might have opened the door of 2012 and found out, yoo-hoo, it's got all new appliances, great. Others of you may have opened up 2012 and found out the vandals had come in and taken all the copper pipes out of the wall, you know, and sold it for scrap. So what they got $50 for costs you $3,000 to replace. Maybe that was your year. I don't know. I wonder how Zechariah was thinking about Joshua, the high priest. Joshua, the high priest, standing before God. Turn with me again to our scripture reading, Zechariah chapter 3. Here is the high priest standing before God. Sounds good. But unfortunately, verse 3, we find out that Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments. Filthy garments. And was standing before the angel. The high priest represented his people. Here was the representative of God's people standing there in filthy garments. Is that the way it was supposed to be in the sanctuary system? Not at all, huh? Not at all. In fact, he was to go in there looking awesome because these clothes were only worn into the presence of God, right? But it was not that Zechariah saw. And in fact, we find out what those filthy garments are in verse 4. Then he answered and spoke to those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him, to Joshua, he said, "See, I have removed your what? Iniquity." The filthy garments were the iniquities of God's people. And so here Joshua stood before the angel of the Lord in garments spotted with sin. It's nice to come to church and he's all clean and nice and looking good. Got your suit tied. White shirt, huh? White shirt. Everything looking good. Everything's clean and dry and nice. Even in the rain, it's nice. That isn't all the way, always the way it happens, is it? He got caught in the rain coming here today. That didn't happen for him. Sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We get caught in the rain, huh? But I want you to look at the story of what happens here to Joshua the high priest, because it's an awesome story. I want you to backtrack just a little bit and see what happened first. Beginning with verse 1, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord." And who was there? Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Do you feel sometimes that that's what's happening to you? Does that feel like that's happening to you? Junior, how long did you know before you sat down here to play that you would be playing for church this morning? About 5 minutes, huh? He had about 5 minutes because he didn't know. He stepped up to the plate, and thank you so much. He stepped up to the plate because the piano player that was scheduled wasn't here. Wasn't here. Where's Enid? Where's Enid? Enid, you're up there. Enid, what happened to special music this morning? Called out. And so Enid steps up, and that's why we had special music this morning. Thank you for being special music. The devil stands at our right hand to oppose us all the time, doesn't he? We've seen it in the sickness, the illness that's been here among us, things that have happened to us. We see God standing there. We are before him, but the devil isn't far away. But there's verse 2. I love verse 2. Look at verse 2. "And the Lord said to Satan," the Lord do what? Woohoo! The Lord rebuked. Who did the rebuking, by the way? Lord, thank you very much. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It wasn't human beings. The Lord did the rebuking. "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has done what? Chosen Israel." Ooh, can you feel the hug right there? God just hugged you. God just hugged you, man. It's awesome. Because he has chosen you. Now, he has chosen Jerusalem, and he says to Satan, he rebukes you. "Is this not a brand plucked from the fire. And sometimes in the fires, we feel like we're getting a little bit singed, but God is pulling us out. God is blessing us. God is wrapping us in a huge old hug. It is awesome. Now, I want you to notice something. What verse is it that God is rebuking Satan? What verse number is that? That's verse 2. What verse was it that God was taking away their filthy garments? In other words, God was already rebuking the devil before the filthy garments were taken away. Is that right? God was willing to hug us while we still had the filthy garments on. That is awesome, isn't it? That is words of cheer. God loves us that much. It is beautiful. You may remember Daniel chapter 10. Take a look with me, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, beginning with verse 10. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, who? Man greatly. I love that. Man greatly beloved. Man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. God is always speaking words of comfort to us. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand. From when? First day. Brothers and sisters, when we reach out to God, how close is He? Right there. God is right there for you and I. If we reach out for God, He is right there for us. God loves you so much. And so, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and do what? To humble yourself before God. This is not a time in Earth's history when humbling ourselves is a popular thing to do. Have you noticed that? That just is not a very popular thing to do. Instead of humbling myself to say I'm sorry and I blew it and, you know, I'm human, I'm so sorry, we are much more apt in this day and age to go, well, why did you? You shouldn't have. It's your fault. It's your fault I ran that stop sign. Right? You know, it's just a bizarre world we live in. But here, as soon as Daniel humbled his heart before God, boom, God sent the angel. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. And furthermore, it says, verse 13, this sounds familiar, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Sounds just like what we saw happening with the high priest, huh? And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. God is not far from helping us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. God promises to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. God is so good. These are words of cheer. words of cheer for you and I, that God is not far from the words of our groaning. God is there for you and I. Going back to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. He takes away the filthy garments there. In verse 4 it says, "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you." Brothers and sisters, you can wash all day and never remove the stain of guilt from yourself. But praise God, he is there to take it away by the blood of Jesus for you and I. John declared that Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Some of you have been over to my house here recently and seen a change that took place on my floor. You seen that? Few of you have seen that. We put down new flooring. Got some flooring that we put down. And many of you probably saw the old floor I had there. Do you remember? Old brown carpet. Stained and stuff. I don't know what happened. The last guy got mad or something and just went around with an ink bottle or something because it was stuff that... We tried everything, man. It just wouldn't come out of that carpet. And so eventually we've gotten rid of the old carpet. But did I just come in and laid a wood floor down on top of the carpet? That wouldn't do, would it? What do you got to do? Got to take the old carpet out, right? You've got to get rid of the old in order to put in the new, right? You have got to get rid of it. There's demo involved when you rehab a house. You've got to destroy the old stuff, get rid of it. You see where I'm going with this? It's not too much different in our lives, is it? The old stuff in our old life gets demoed out before the new comes in. We're at the last Sabbath of 2012. And this is an awesome opportunity for us to demo the old stuff out of our lives, humble our hearts before the Lord, and install the new. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's where we need to go. I think we need to remember what Jesus' occupation was. Jesus was a carpenter. He knew how to fix stuff up. And he's still in the business of fixing up lives. He wants to fix up your life. And not just put patches on it. He wants to demo the old and make the new. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life. That's words of cheer, don't you think? God has good things for us. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Take a look at the last part of Zechariah 3, verse 4. Last part of Zechariah 3 and verse 4. It says, "And I will clothe you with what? Rich robes." I like the New King James there, with rich robes. Ooh, I like rich robes. That sounds good. That sounds good. Rich robes. And verse 5. "Then I said, let them," and this is God still speaking, "let them put a clean turban on his head." But I like the King James better there. It says what? Come on, those of you with a King James, what does that say in verse 5? "Let them put what on his head?" Fair mitre. I like that. A fair mitre. Fair. We've forgotten what this definition of fair is, you know? Fair means good looking, right? They put a good looking hat on him. That sounds good. I like that. So, he's got these rich robes and a good-looking hat. I like it. Whose stuff is it that I'm putting on? It's Christ's, isn't it? It's Christ's robe of righteousness I'm putting on there. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 22 and beginning with verse 11. Matthew 22 and verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, what's this story all about? There's a wedding feast going on, right? There's a wedding feast going on. And the king invited people. They didn't come. They didn't come. And so he says, go out there and get people to my wedding feast. We're going to have a party. So people came in. Now, when they came into this party, something was given to them. Because otherwise, the king couldn't have come in upset that this guy didn't have it. If the guy was expected on a moment's notice to come into the wedding feast and supply his own robe of righteousness, he couldn't have been blamed if he didn't have it. But when the king supplies it and he doesn't have it, then there's a problem, right? That's why the king was unhappy, because the king supplied the robe. It's nice to know the king is supplying my robe. It's not up to me to pick something nice enough to wear in to see the king. He supplies it to me. Praise God, huh? That's words of cheer to me, man. That is awesome good news. And you know what? Jesus still is offering us that same robe. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. All right, y'all already know where I'm going. That's okay. Turn there anyway. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is still offering us that robe of righteousness in verse 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. And what? White garments. Where are we getting this white garment? From Christ. That's right. White garments, that you may be clothed. Jesus wants to supply us with this garment that is already white and clean and beautiful and ready to go in and see the King, to stand in His presence. These are words of cheer, brothers and sisters. God has given us the opportunity to stand in His presence. He has rebuked Satan before we were even cleaned up, given us a big bear hug. Then He took away the filthy garments, gave us fresh, clean garments, white and pure. And now He calls us to walk in His way. Take a look back at the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. One more time. Zechariah chapter 3. Beginning with verse 6. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, verse 7 now, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Whoa! Wait a minute. Who were those who were standing there? Who were those who stood there? But the angels of God. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to walk with angels? Woo! God has a promise for you. A promise to be able to walk among the angels. A promise to be His people. Walking in the courts of God. And what is it for us to do? We are to walk in His way and keep His command. Wait, I thought the righteousness was from Jesus. Still is. It still is. I'm not going to be able to do that by my own strength, am I? If so, I would have kept my original garment clean, right? I can't do this by myself. It's got to be the power of God. It's His righteousness imparted to me and His righteousness imputed to me, if you want all the big fancy terms. It's still all His righteousness all the way through. And so God is calling you today to follow Him. In your bulletin today, you got a little schedule there. Yeah, thanks. You got a schedule in your bulletin today. It looks something like this. Yes? Pull that out. Take a look at it with me. Each year, I have given you an opportunity to read God's Word. Again, this year, we're doing the same thing. This is the schedule I'm looking at for this year. It's not exactly the way I'd like it, but it's good. Because this year, I have a mind to read not only the Scriptures through in a year, and as you look through this, you'll find some gaps. Some gaps where it says no reading for a particular day. But you'll still get through the Scriptures in a year reading through this. But it also includes readings from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's really ambitious. I know. I understand that. You're talking about reading about 3 or 4 chapters of the Scriptures each day and about 5 pages from Spirit of Prophecy each day. So it will probably take you, if you read morning and evening, it'll probably take you, say, 15, 20 minutes in the morning to read the Scripture and maybe 30 minutes in the afternoon or evening to read the Spirit of Prophecy. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to get both this year, to see both of them, the Scriptures and the reading from the Spirit of Prophecy about that. And so that's what I'm giving you the opportunity to do. If you read only the Scripture each day, you'll still get the Scripture every day. That's all right. No problem. I suggest probably on those days where there's no reading for Scriptures, read something else from Scripture. Go back, reread Psalms or something if you like. All right? So be in the Scriptures every day, but you also have an opportunity to read from the Spirit of Prophecy as well. And so this year, I will be going through this with you day by day. We'll go through it. I hope that together we can walk in the ways of the Lord. Because one of the first parts of walking in the way of the Lord is to walk in His Word every day. God has given us His Word, not just to use Sabbath mornings, but to have available to us every day, to be in it every day, to soaking up the life of Christ and His Word every day. And so I invite you to take up this challenge, to be reading each and every day, take time for prayer each and every day, to connect with God every single day. And as we do, maybe we won't physically, like Joshua, the high priest, be walking among the angels and standing before the angel of the Lord. But I think you'll see that there will be words of cheer for you as you commune with God each and every day. Make this year the year you decide, yes, I'm going to be a wholehearted follower of God, and He will bless you.